This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Tools, Tips, and Tricks podcast, brought to you by the Litigation Support and Practice Content Development Team. I'm Ann Helke. I'm the Litigation Support Manager at Alexander Holborn in Vancouver, and I'm very pleased that we have Joan Washburn, Director of Litigation eDiscovery Services from Holland & Knight, to speak with us today about relativity and deploying it in large firms. Joan, would you like to tell us a little bit of your background, and then we can dive into the questions that we have for you today? And thanks so much for taking part.
Thanks, Anne. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm happy to give a little bit of my background. As you mentioned, I'm the Director of Litigation and eDiscovery Services at Holland & Knight. I've been with the firm for 12 years, and I sit in the Boston office. I lead a very geographically and skill set diverse team, which is a challenge. And we work with attorneys across 29 offices. So it is a big challenge to manage, but I have a great team and we do a bang up job of it.
Oh, wow. That's great. So you mentioned a little bit about your background. What's your current setup like? In past conversations, I know you used Relativity. So did you deploy to the cloud?
No. Well, we deploy to a private cloud. So it's interesting. We manage the Relativity application entirely ourselves, but we do have infrastructure as a service with a company that provides a hosted litigation solution. So this company basically provides all of the SQL servers and web servers and everything that we need to run the very complex Relativity infrastructure. And one of the beauties of that for us has been that we essentially have upgrades and improvements on demand. Mm-hmm. And we, it makes it a lot easier for us. As you know, litigation is extremely fast moving and you never know from one day to the next what you're going to get. So resource planning in terms of server space and compute and things like that is difficult to manage without some kind of assistance. So I made the determination when we first decided to bring Relativity in-house that it was more appropriate for us to use an infrastructure as a service provider. I wanted to have control of the application, but not have to worry about the infrastructure. So I didn't want to manage service type thing where a vendor managed the application. I wanted to have control of that, but I didn't want to have to care about SQL.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what does it look like to roll out Relativity a large firm? What type of obstacles and challenges or opportunities and benefits? You mentioned, obviously, having it in the cloud. I can certainly see a benefit to that. But what else would you say you've come across?
Well, it is certainly a challenge to roll out Relativity. As I mentioned in my previous answer, Relativity's infrastructure is a beast. It requires a lot of compute, which is translates to a lot of expense. And that's an expense that a lot of firms are not willing to take on. So that was partly why we considered the cloud. And it is why we have stuck with the infrastructure as a service. So it relieved some of that burden. That does not relieve all of the burden. We still have to understand the demands, understand how much compute so that we have enough to hit our peaks, but we're not sitting on an expensive monster at our valleys. So because SQL and especially SQL Enterprise is extremely expensive and Relativity requires a lot of compute power. So it really is a balance to build the infrastructure to fit the needs of our practitioners. And that is something that we're constantly evaluating. And it is an issue that people should walk into with their eyes wide open, because the last thing you want to do is deploy a tool that is not going to run adequately and people get frustrated with. So understanding how to build it out appropriately was a huge challenge. And there are always obstacles to rolling out a new tool for attorneys. We've been using Relativity in-house for 7 years, and we had used it with vendors previous to that. So I already had a lot of buy-in, but it was really getting people comfortable with all of the power behind Relativity. Relativity, as they will say themselves, is an expert-driven tool. So for many end users, it can seem overwhelming. So we really had to develop methodologies for engagement with our practitioners to get them engaged and involved in the use of Relativity. I didn't want it to just be, well, we're going to do all of the things in the background and you guys are just going to click, 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 click. I wanted people to be excited about all the analytics and other things and the AI-driven document review and all of the really cool things that Relativity brings to bear. Some of the ways that we engaged our practitioners was in the way that we trained on the application. We really realized very quickly that if we tried to do a dump of information, like, hey, sit with us for a lunch and learn for an hour to figure out everything that Relativity could do, we were not going to get as much engagement and people were not going to retain what we taught them. So we decided that we would roll it out that we would train on it in connection with what we just called 10-minute trainings. And so we broke it down into 10-minute trainings that were easily digestible, easily re-reviewed, and more easily retained. And we started with the basics of Relativity, navigation, simple searching, understanding the difference between a DT search and a keyword search. And we brought it all the way up to active learning modules that we broke down into 10-minute sessions. We also offered a Q&A afterwards, which frankly we seeded with questions so that we could expand on the training and people would either stay engaged or not stay engaged, but everything was recorded and everything was available. We did get a lot of buy-in to that methodology of training and a lot more users and a lot more stickiness with the application with more senior people. It was easy to get paralegals engaged, a little bit harder to get partners engaged. Another thing that we did to further that was we built out several applications within Relativity that would be more attractive to people at a more senior level at the firm. One of the things that we did was a case management platform so that it basically gave a dashboard that could give a 30,000-foot view of a matter to a partner, including what's on the calendar for the next week, 3 months, deposition prep, all tied together with calendar events and task management. And that was a big selling point for many people. And we further developed a portfolio management dashboard that has received quite a bit of buy-in from people at the partner level. And that includes, you know, financial analysis and status trends in litigation across the client's portfolio. So we, you know, as we had control of the application and we could really work to build it out in ways that were effective for our clients, our internal and our external clients, we really focused on that to get more engagement and more return on our investment. Again, that is one of the reasons why I wanted control of the application. And as many people know, Relativity is a wonderfully extensible application. You can connect it to lots of external applications. It really does a good job of accepting data from, you know, ingestion of data from other sources and output of data from Relativity, so you can create cool reports. And we just decided that we wanted to take it to another level rather than just use it as an e-discovery review tool.
Wow, that's impressive. What would you say are some tools, tips, and tricks that you would share with someone looking to roll out Relativity in a big shop? Like, should they go to Relativity One in-house or other?
Well, if I were doing it now, I would go to Relativity One. I think all of the complexity that I described previously is elided in Relativity 1. You don't have to worry about compute because it's scalable compute. And I think that there is a lot of benefit to that. And going to Relativity 1, where you don't have to worry about those types of things, you can focus more on the more client-facing things, such as building a portfolio management tool or something like that, that is that there's more value add. And that's really the biggest tip that I could give to people, is that you need to present Relativity. If you are rolling it out new to your partnership, you need to present it in the light of, what can this do for me? How can this ease my burden in communication with my client? How can this save me money over time in e-discovery? So you really have to formulate that business case, and you need to formulate ways to communicate that to leadership at the firm and the partnership in general. And that's the biggest tip to allow for a successful rollout. In addition to really having all of the technology designed properly. If you do not have engineers, or if you're going to try to build this in-house, you really need to get guidance from either a consultant or Relativity itself. And Relativity does provide a lot of support and a lot of feedback on appropriate infrastructure build, but you really have to make sure that your compute is there so that nobody's going to run into slowness and get frustrated. And you need to have built a business case for your firm leadership. I mean, not everybody makes the decision to try to make it a profit center. We happen to take that route. But even with it not being a profit center, you need to have a business case, because it is not an inexpensive proposition. So putting together first your business case, understanding the compute and infrastructure that's necessary to run Relativity properly in-house, and creating the value proposition for the users of the tool so that they understand what it does for them over time and how it will help them retain and attract clients and save money and time and all of the things that Relativity really has helped us tremendously to do. So mm-hmm. Those are my tips and tricks.
Oh, those are good. As an e-discovery pro in big law, could you talk to us a little bit about what you're doing to manage the paradigm shift from mainly email and e-files to collaboration sources, chat apps, and social media?
Oh boy, this is an interesting question. And it's still, from my perspective, a work in progress. So first and foremost, and I think most people have already done this at this point, it's not like people don't know, we have text messages and Slack and WhatsApp. You have to absolutely make sure that you include that in your preservation and litigation hold notices. And you really need to make sure that everybody is mindful of that, I still think that most business communications occur in email, but that there is always going to be side communications via text and WhatsApp. And it really also depends on where you're collecting from, the company, the relative, the business that they're in, and things like that. So you have to be very mindful of those things and plan for that. Then you also have to collect those sources properly, because in order to review them properly in terms of, you know, a short message tool within an e-discovery application, you need to have the proper message identifiers and things like that. We built out a method internally before they were commercially available viewers to give us more of an ability to view short messages in more like they were existed in either the native application or as text on a phone. Please don't ask me how we did that, because I didn't do it. If you want, I can call the tech people, but I did not do that. But we did build that out. I do know now that Relativity has built in a short message viewer that was released in Relativity 1 and will be released, I think, not in the upgrade that is currently available, but in the next one, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but it is coming for on-prem Relativity. But you do have to make sure you identify, preserve, collect properly, and then find the right tool, which again is not so very different than what you have to do for email. It's really just that there aren't that many appropriate, or there aren't that many well-developed tools out there. The industry is still ramping up for that. So again, just best practices as you do with any type of ESI, proper preservation, collection, and you'll be able to get the information out of the data if you do that.
Yeah, that's good advice. Well, thank you so much, Joan, for sharing your experience and your wisdom. Greatly appreciated. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. And we hope that you listen in to more podcasts in the future.
Thank you, Ann.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.